Tarea 2.
So it's a very hot day in New York City, a glorious hot day, but thank goodness we are in a very beautifully air-conditioned studio. And I say we because I'm sat with Taylor Swift. Hello.
Hi, welcome to New York.
Thank you very much for having me. You are here to kick off Live Lounge Month. It's a bit of a big deal, Taylor.
It's a big deal for me too. I'm really excited.
Well, we're so happy to have you back. It's been quite a while since you gave us the Live Lounge. And yeah, you're bringing us to New York. What is it about this city that you love so much?
I think my favorite thing about this city is that in other towns or cities or whatever, things feel very spread out. In LA, I love LA, but you have to plan out exactly what you're going to do. You have to park your car. You have to tell your friends where to meet you. Then you figure out where you're going to go next. Then you have to get organized. But because of something about the New York, everything being on top of each other, it seems like there's just this magic about the city where a night just falls together and then you end up somewhere else and you end up somewhere else and you end up somewhere else.
When you first landed here, did you have that sort of cliche feeling of like, wow, I've made it. I can be anyone.
That cliche feeling was literally my entire personality for like a year. When I was walking down the street in New York, I'd be like, I'm going to get my groceries in New York because I'm just a girl in a big city. Like, I just was fully inspired by the whole thing. I don't think you should ever have to apologize for your excitement. The worst kind of person is someone who makes someone feel bad, dumb, or stupid for like being excited about something.
Well, look, congratulations anyway, because I know you're excited because your album Lover is number one in the UK. It's number one pretty much everywhere at the moment.
It's been a really, really good time with this album.
How satisfying does it feel for you to have this album be number one, A, but the first album that you legally own?
It's the best. It's literally the most satisfying feeling in the world to own this record. I've always written all my own music. I've always made all of my own decisions. But, you know, the fact that I own it, it's just there's something about that that makes it more special than anything I've ever done.
Right on. The last time I saw you, we were getting ready for a big weekend and you were about to bring the Reputation tour to the UK. Now, that kind of era of your life, it was quite dark. You had a lot to say, had a lot to get off your chest. How much of a different person do you feel compared to Reputation Taylor to Lover Taylor?
It's a very different place where I am in my life. I think that one thing that the Reputation era of my life per se did for me was it taught me that I can live my life without any public approval and still have a really, really wonderful life and still want to make music and still want to connect with my fans. And like the love of my love of music and my love of what I do and my ability to carve out a life of my own within that is a possibility.
You've been doing this for about 13, 14 years now. You've seen how social media affects fandoms. How have you managed to adapt to that?
I'm good with all that stuff because I've always been like, that part of the job is fun. I remember when I first got a record deal, I went to Nashville and I was like, you guys don't understand. The internet's going to be a big part of music. I have a MySpace and I have all these followers on MySpace and these people listen to my music on there and they're like, what? All we need is radio and CD sales. And I'd be like, I'm pretty sure this is going to be a factor. And so you just never know what's going to happen. Every new album release is different because there's always a new platform. There's always a new way to have people experience your music.
You've been a lot more outspoken, like notably over the past kind of 3 or 4 years. Were you worried about any backlash or did you come to a point of indifference?
I wasn't worried about backlash because I think at a certain point it's about right and wrong. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to go directly to people who care about my music when I talk about something. This is the most imperative time in our political history, I think, coming up for us in America. You really can't care at a certain point if you're going to be honest about what you think and how you feel and what you believe in. It's just, you have to, I think, put it out there and then just log off. So that's what I do.
Do you feel that this new boldness that we're seeing from you and this, I guess, this level of openness has like changed some of your fan base? Have you welcomed new fans that you weren't expecting before?
I haven't really looked at it as a cause and effect type thing. Mm-hmm. To me, it feels completely separate from my career. I literally don't look at the response to when I say something. Like, I'm not looking for, oh, so-and-so liked it, so-and-so didn't. Like, it's just, to me, it's not about that at all. It's something way bigger.
Now, Taylor, you are about to kick off Live Lounge Month. Can you let us know what those songs are?
All right, I will do it. So the first song is London Boy. We've done sort of a stripped down acoustic version of it. I've never played this song live before, so this is the debut.
Fantastic.
We're doing an acoustic version of Lover, which is probably my favorite song I've ever written. That I'm so proud of that song. Next, we're doing an acoustic version of The Archer.
That is a good looking menu.
Thank you.
Chef's kiss. Right, Taylor Swift in the Live Lounge. Let's go. So it's a very hot day in New York City, a glorious hot day, but thank goodness we are in a very beautifully air-conditioned studio. And I say we because I'm sat with Taylor Swift. Hello.
Hi, welcome to New York.
Thank you very much for having me. You are here to kick off Live Lounge Month. It's a bit of a big deal, Taylor.
It's a big deal for me too. I'm really excited.
Well, we're so happy to have you back. It's been quite a while since you gave us the Live Lounge. And you're bringing us to New York. What is it about this city that you love so much?
I think my favorite thing about this city is that in other towns or cities or whatever, things feel very spread out. In LA, I love LA, but you have to plan out exactly what you're going to do. You have to park your car. You have to tell your friends where to meet you. Then you figure out where you're going to go next. Then you have to get organized. But because of something about the New York, everything being on top of each other, it seems like there's just this magic about the city where a night just falls together and then you end up somewhere else and you end up somewhere else and you end up somewhere else.
When you first landed here, did you have that sort of cliche feeling of like, wow, I've made it. I can be anyone.
that cliche feeling was literally my entire personality for like a year. When I was walking down the street in New York, I'd be like, I'm going to get my groceries in New York because I'm just a girl in a big city. Like, I just was fully inspired by the whole thing. I don't think you should ever have to apologize for your excitement. The worst kind of person is someone who makes someone feel bad, dumb, or stupid for like being excited about something.
Well, look, congratulations anyway, because I know you're excited because your album, Lover, is number one in the UK. It's number one pretty much everywhere at the moment.
It's been a really, really good time with this album.
How satisfying does it feel for you to have this album be number one, A, but the first album that you legally own?
It's the best. It's literally the most satisfying feeling in the world to own this record. I've always written all my own music. I've always made all of my own decisions. But, you know, the fact that I own it, it's just there's something about that that makes it more special than anything I've ever done.
Right on. The last time I saw you, we were getting ready for Big Weekend and you were about to bring the Reputation tour to the UK. Now, that kind of era of your life, it was quite dark. You had a lot to say, had a lot to get off your chest. How much of a different person do you feel compared to Reputation Taylor to Lover Taylor?
It's a very different place where I am in my life. I think that one thing that the Reputation era of my life per se did for me was it taught me that I can live my life without any public approval and still have a really, really wonderful life and still want to make music and still want to connect with my fans. And like the love of my love of music and my love of what I do and my ability to carve out a life of my own within that is a possibility.
You've been doing this for about 13, 14 years now. You've seen how social media affects fandoms. How have you managed to adapt to that?
I'm good with all that stuff because I've always been like, that part of the job is fun. I remember when I first got a record deal, I went to Nashville and I was like, you guys don't understand. The internet's going to be a big part of music. I have a MySpace and I have all these followers on MySpace and these people listen to my music on there and they're like, what? All we need is radio and CD sales. And I'd be like, I'm pretty sure this is going to be a factor. And so you just never know what's going to happen. Every new album release is different because there's always a new platform. There's always a new way to have people experience your music.
You've been a lot more outspoken, like notably over the past kind of 3 or 4 years. Were you worried about any backlash or did you come to a point of indifference?
I wasn't worried about backlash because I think at a certain point it's about right and wrong. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to go directly to people who care about my music when I talk about something. This is the most imperative time in our political history, I think, coming up for us in America. You really can't care at a certain point if you're going to be honest about what you think and how you feel and what you believe in. It's just you have to, I think, put it out there and then just log off. So that's what I do.
Do you feel that this new boldness that we're seeing from you and this, I guess, this level of openness has like changed some of your fan base? Have you welcomed new fans that you weren't expecting before?
I haven't really looked at it as a cause and effect type thing. Mm-hmm. To me, it feels completely separate from my career. I literally don't look at the response to when I say something. Like, I'm not looking for, oh, so-and-so liked it, so-and-so didn't. Like, it's just, to me, it's not about that at all. It's something way bigger.
Now, Taylor, you are about to kick off Live Lounge Month. Can you let us know what those songs are?
All right, I will do it. So the first song is London Boy. We've done sort of a stripped down acoustic version of it. I've never played this song live before, so this is the debut.
Fantastic.
We're doing an acoustic version of Lover, which is probably my favorite song I've ever written. That I'm so proud of that song. Next, we're doing an acoustic version of The Archer.
That is a good looking menu.
Thank you.
Chef's kiss. Right, Taylor Swift in the Live Lounge. Let's go.